Bonjour. Welcome to the Cognac Expert Calendar podcast, hosted by Taylor.
So today I'm very pleased to be joined by Benedict Hardy from Hardy Cognac. How are you doing today, Benedict?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Taylor. And you?
I'm great. Thanks. It's always nice to speak with you. Can you tell our listeners who you are and what you do?
Well, I am the fifth generation of a company named Hardy and a family that started in the cognac business in 1863. We'll celebrate next year 160 years of existence. So now I'm in charge of America's business, even though South America is much smaller, as everybody can guess, than North America. So mostly Canada and the United States. But on top of that, I'm also the ambassador and I'm helping my colleagues to go in some other markets. So I'm at the same time export manager for North America and at the same time ambassador for the brand worldwide.
Sounds very busy.
Yeah.
So
to say the least.
So what product are we tasting today?
We're tasting something that we relaunched in 2015 called Noce d'Argent. In the company, for our listeners, means anniversary, and argent is silver. So it's silver anniversary, if I want to translate each word properly.
Can you say, is this from a single cru? Is it a blend? What can you
say
about
it? It is a blend. It is a fine champagne cognac. So by definition, as you know, fine champagne is a blend of grand and petite champagne, in my opinion, the two best cru of the cognac region. And if you blend them, you get what legally is called fine champagne. I'm sure our listener might not know that if we call them champagne, it's not because we add sparkling wine in our cognacs, but it's only because we share the same soil as the Champagne people, which means, in fact, this soil is pure chalk, limestone. And it comes from a Latin word, Campania, which has been translated in French champagne. So these two regions, the Champagne people near Reims and Epernay and us, share the same soil. So this cognac is coming from these two regions. 55% Grand Champagne, 45% Petit Champagne in the blend.
Now it's the first of the Noce cognacs at Hardy, correct?
Yes, absolutely. It's the first of the anniversary series, which names that were given by my uncles and my father quite a while ago, to designate the fact that, of course, our products are assemblage, they are blends. But to give an idea to the people that understand anything about wedding anniversaries, how old the cognacs inside the bottles are.
So Noce d'Argent, for our listeners who may not know the different anniversaries, Noce d'Argent is what kind of age?
25 years. Not more, but not less. The great interest for this product is that Michael Bouilly, our blender, has selected eau de vie from Grand Champagne and Petit Champagne that were aged side by side in our cellars for so long. And after that, he blended them. But I will explain a little later how he did that.
And so how would you just describe the style of this particular cognac?
I think the style has been well described by Paul Pacult in the Spirit Journal in 2015 when we repackaged and relaunched the product. He said that was an elegant cognac, an extremely rounded product with no asperity, no alcohol edge. It's really something that is very harmonious, I would say.
And so there are multiple cognacs in the anniversary range.
Yes.
And I imagine that each one has their own identity. They're obviously communicating a different age. But what was the cellar master going for this particular Noce d'Argent cognac?
I think he was going for something that would be just a step above of RXO. He wanted something with more depth, more density, more bouquet, more mâche, as we say in French, which means really... How would you translate that yourself? Mâche. Like you say for wine, you know, something that when you drink it, you know, it's full, it's complete, it covers, it coats your palate. That's what he was looking for.
Yeah. When I hear mâche, I think something to chew on, something with real depth.
Exactly. Something to chew on. That's what he was going for.
Okay. And in terms of distillation, can you say if the eau de vie that make up this blend were distilled with the lye or without the lye?
Well, Michael is a fervent partisan of distilling with lees. He associates lees, very interestingly, with flowers, with floral notes, with something that gives, again, something to chew on. Distilling with the lees gives more density, more richness to the product. And that's what he really likes the best. And I agree completely with him. My ancestors were already doing that. And I think it's wonderful that he continues the same tradition.
Great. And in terms of the oak treatment, how much time did this cognac spend in new oak, if you can say?
99.9% of our cognac, if not say 100%, starts in brand new oak. There is it's a religion, I would say, at Hardy. And it's also because we're very fortunate to have people that can afford to buy new oak every year. Michael buys between 800 and 1,000 new barrels each year. So what we consider new oak is only 2 years. That's all. And every single of our cognac started its life in new oak. So this cognac didn't spend more than 2 years in new oak. And after that, it was rotated to older oak. If you have 25 years ahead of you, it's impossible to imagine leaving cognac in brand new oak all the time. It would really ruin the taste and give it something too oaky. So the difficulty in making cognac elegant and round, though, is that you have to balance young oak and used oak, which Michael does really well. And also, what is very important is the way he uses our dry cellars and our humid cellars. Of course, you, Taylor, have heard that many times, but maybe our listeners don't know that in cognac, there are two kinds of cellars. And these two kinds of cellars make cognac the great brandy that it is today. So in our case, every single cognac starts its life in humid cellar and brand new oak. And after a year and a half, it is always transferred to dry cellars, where, of course, the evaporation is much higher, particularly with the climate change today. And it is what we get. We get, instead of losing 3% a year in last year, for instance, last summer, with the heat that we had in cognac, we probably will be close to 5 or 6%.
Oof.
So it's a sacrifice that you make, of course, but it's for the better. I mean, you lose the ethers, you lose the volatile alcohol that are not pleasant on the palate. But after 1 year in dry cellars, we bring back everything and the rest of the aging takes place in humid cellars.
That's great. I mean, I always ask the question about the cellar conditions, but that's the first time where I really hear a producer talking about moving, you know, an eau de vie starts in humid, then dry, and then humid again, and like this really reflective process.
Do you know, Taylor, if there is something that I learned very early on is that this region also has a lot of fairy tales. You hear wonderful stories about people discovering in a lost cellar a barrel forgotten over the years. I guarantee you that if you find a barrel aged 80 years forgotten in a corner, first of all, there will be little cognac in it because the evaporation takes a toll every year. And secondly, you would be chewing oak and not drinking cognac. So people, what I love when I get visitors is to show them when Michael is the best at doing that, is showing them what kind of work is behind cognac. It's not putting cognac in a barrel, into a barrel, and wait for 80 years until it reaches the 40% alcohol. It's a lot of process to make sure the product remains good. Otherwise, you can very easily make a mistake and you lose it. Not the right oak. Sometimes if the oak is too green, for instance, the whole crop can be lost. So it's a process. It's a balance of many, many elements. Things can go well, but they also can go wrong very quickly.
I had the chance recently to visit with Michael and the cellar, and I can confirm what you just said. It was like a clinic on cognac making and all of the things that go on. Really, really fascinating. And in terms of additives, can you say, is there anything added to this cognac, like sugar or coloring or anything like that?
In younger products, it is true that for color purposes, they might have some additive. But in that case, for the 25-year-old, because he spends so much time in oak, we don't add anything. What Michael does, which is really unique, he's not the only one doing that, but he uses the distilled water that we need to reduce the volume of alcohol during the aging process. So he adds water, and that makes the difference, and that creates the product that makes the cognac so more refined and round. Because you have two options when you make cognac. Either you wait until the time has come to bottle the product, but of course, it's not. Imagine a VSOP, for instance. In our case, it's aged more than the legal age. But imagine that you have a product that is at 56, 57% alcohol. You don't want to bottle it at that level. So either you use water during the process and naturally go slowly down to 40%, or you wait until the end and add the water at the end. We have chosen to add water during the process of aging. Michael gets the eau de vie distilled from his best wine growers. He tests the eau de vie that is delivered to us at 70%. And of course, he contributes in the distillation process. He distills with his people. And at 70%, he doesn't immediately add distilled water to reduce the level at 55%. And we never put cognac at 70% in Brunello. It's always at 55. So it gained us some time. But at the same time, the water that he has used to reduce the level of alcohol is really a plus and contributes to the aging factor. So in that sense, yes, we can say that we're adding things to the cognac, but it's distilled water.
It's water, of course. Okay. And so if we move to a tasting note for this nose d'argent, yes. How would you describe the nose and the palate?
The nose is like candied walnut, fig, ripe fruit. This is what I would describe the best. It is really the aromas that you have and a touch of citrus, which is really the signature of Hardy. And then on the palate, the rancio, which is such a unique concept, this rancio. There is no really translation for that. What does it mean? It means that after a while, the oak in contact with the cognac produces like an oily component, like essential oil, that has this taste of walnut, of nuts that have been roasted. And this is quite oily. That's what you see in the glass, you know, when you have your cognac in the glass and you see the legs. It comes from that. That's this rancio. And that's what you have with this nose d'argent. And it comes with older cognacs instead of young cognacs. You know, you have three kind of ages in the cognac category. You have the age of flowers. I was designated that probably until the age of around 20 years. And then you have the age of fruit, which is exactly when nose d'argent is. And then after 30 years to 35 years, you're really in the age of spices. So I would say that on the palate and on the nose, you really have the ripeness, the beautiful. It's like summer. This product tastes like summer. It tastes like the apricot season, the peach season, you see.
Beautiful. Yeah, wonderfully blended cognac. Very balanced, very refined as well, I would say. So thank you very much for sharing your responses, all of these explanations. It's been wonderful. Happy holidays. And,
happy holidays
and again, thank you so much.
Thank you very much and happy holidays to you, Taylor.
Thank you for listening to the Cognac Expert Calendar podcast. All bottles of this calendar can be found on cognacexpert.com. Tomorrow is another day and another cognac. Au revoir.